Welcome to Freedom Church. As Pastor Tim continues our series on spiritual maturity and what that means, he challenges us today to continue to walk in the Spirit, to make the decision, to make the choice, not to try, but to trust. Thank you for joining us.
Well, we learned this last week that there are two opposing views, the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. The works, they flow really from us. It's what we try to do in the flesh. It's really something that just really just flows from us and what we think and what we want to do. But the fruits of the Spirit, they flow from the Holy Spirit living within us. They flow out of us. And I'm thankful, because if the Holy Spirit's not within us, there's not going to be much fruit, because you've got to be attached to something, and we're attached to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, where those fruits can come out. And here's the question for us today. What other kingdom do you desire to belong in? What kingdom do you desire? You want to be in your own kingdom or in God's kingdom? It's a choice we all have to make. It's a choice that we all have to make. What kingdom do I want to live in? My own kingdom that I create, that I do, and I manifest it, and I fix it the way I want it? Or am I going to live in God's kingdom? In other words, am I going to live under His rule? Am I going to live in where I've bowed down before Him, and He lives within me, and I abide in Him? So what other kingdom do you want to live in? You know, if we live in our own kingdom, is we find nothing but out of chaos. And that should be enough right there with that statement for us to say, hey, I don't want to live in my own kingdom. But you would have to agree with me that through your walk in life and through your experiences in life, when you're doing your own thing, living in your own kingdom that you're creating, you find chaos. I don't listen to a lot to Toby Mac. Sometimes I do, and I start breakdancing in the truck, you know. Is there sure such things as breakdancing? It was in the 80s. I don't know if it is now. But one of the things is I want to build my kingdom to watch you to tear it down. It's one of the lines. I like that. I want you to tear it down. I want you to tear it down. But when we live in God's kingdom, when we live under His reign, when we seek after Him and live within this kingdom that He's called us to, is we find peace, we find order in our lives. We don't find that chaos. We find that those moments that there is a order in our lives. And you have to agree with me, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen? That sounds really good to me. To live in God's kingdom. But from the very beginning of creation, we see God speaking creation into existence to bring that peace, to bring that perfect order to the universe. But in the midst of that, He created us, and we had relationship with Him. And in that moment of sin, destroyed that perfect peace, that order, and disorder and chaos came into the world. And from the very beginning, it's been a choice of whose kingdom are we going to live in? Who are we going to submit to? From that very moment of sin, I just believe, once again, I don't have to go far. I want to live in God's kingdom. We see throughout the Bible just the struggle of the flesh and of the spirit, and how they oppose one another, and how they own two different polar extremes. It's either you in one or you in the other. How sin comes in and tears us apart. I'll say it again. We all need a Savior. We do. And if we ever come to the place that we stop knowing that and believing that, chaos is coming. Amen. We all need a Savior. I continue to need a Savior. I continue to want to live in the kingdom that Jesus has established for us to live in, to prosper in, to really just go places in. I love it. But in verse 16 of last week, there was something that the works of the flesh is gratifies. We want to be satisfied and gratified in the flesh. Chaos always comes when I desire to be satisfied in my flesh. We allow it to take over. Even as Christians, we have those moments that we allow the flesh to rise up. But folks, I want to live in God's kingdom where the fruits of the Spirit can manifest, that can move, that can see life where life doesn't seem to be worth living. In chapter 3 of Galatians, I'll read real fast. It's not on the screen. Paul says to him, "You foolish Galatians." That's pretty strong, isn't it? "You foolish Galatians." And one of the things I say a lot of times, "Who has bewitched you?" Isn't that an interesting word? "Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this: did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, are you now at the end with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, where then does God supply you with your with the Spirit, and were miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or by your believing what you have heard? Who has bewitched us into believing that we can be righteous by what we what we do? That righteousness only comes by if we dot every I and cross every T. Who has bewitched us to believe some of the things that we actually do believe? Who has bewitched us that what used to be called sin is no longer called sin? That we've come to a place in society that the church has allowed society to come in and say, you know what? That's not so bad, is it? Well, you're going to have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Am I going to live for Jesus or not? Am I going to live in my own kingdom, or am I going to live in His kingdom? So our scripture today is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, beginning verse 19 through 26. Let's stand for a moment. It's been a while. Stand for a moment. Galatians 5, verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious." A lot of deep words today. You notice? A lot of good girls, you know. Obvious. Fornication. Impurity. A word I don't know how to say. Adultery. And sorcery. And enmities. And strife. And jealousy. And anger. And quarrels. Dissensions and factions, and envy and drunkenness and carousing and things like this. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit that kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about. Will not inherit that kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Listen, there is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Remember last week? He leads us. We're guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, and envying one another. You can be seated. works of the flesh or fruit of the Spirit. As I told you last week, I will be preaching on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to have to choose these and we're going to go down the line. But Paul was teaching the Galatians to be careful with their freedom. He began to write this book. Is that this at the church, they were on fire for the Lord. We're going to use that type of terminology. But somewhere down the line, they began to hear a teaching that out of their works of the flesh, that they could be holy, they could be righteous, that there are sins that they could get away with, that it really didn't matter. But it leads us to the works of the flesh. He's trying to preach to them and to teach them that surrender, not trying harder to live a Christian life, but it's about living and walking in the Spirit. It's not about trying harder. It's by living and walking in the Spirit. In their Christian freedom, they were allowing sin. What does that sound like today? Hasn't changed very much, has it? In their Christian freedom, I've had conversations with different ones throughout my Christian life that says, you know, I'm free in Christ. There's just things that I can do. I know I'm free in Christ. And, you know, and I take a look at their lives and how much chaos they have in their lives. But the works of the flesh, it says here in God's Word, that He says, they are very clear. To Paul, he says, they are obvious what the works of the flesh are. It is almost like, well, it's like he uses a strong word in Greek, like something that is shiny. Meaning something, it's almost like when you're at the beach and the water is real clear and you see a coin in a quarter and it shines. You ever seen that before? Six of you have. Great. And so you walk along, you see something in the water, and it's just shining. To Paul, he's saying, look, this is not real hard. It's really not hard at all. It's very clear to him what the works of the flesh are. We have a tendency to fudge the meaning. We call them mistakes. We call them those tight moments. Why don't we just call it sin? And let's deal with it. Let's just call it sin. As Christians, there's times we will rationalize things in our minds and convince ourselves that something is not sin. You say, Tim, what are you talking about today? I've been there before. I know I have. That we, for whatever reason, we really convince ourselves that this is not bad, this is not sin, but in reality it is sin. So the first works of the flesh is this fornication, it says, or a sexually impure, this is a sexual immorality. It's interesting, a word in the Greek language. That's where we get our word porn from. Which means that sexually immorality of any type is adultery or fornication or any type of homosexuality. It is sin. We watch it on a screen. Sin. We fill in our minds and our hearts with something that is sin. David Platt once said, and I appreciated him saying this. We as a Christian church, we oftentimes we want to choose a sin and really hit hard on it. But you know my view on that. I very seldom call out different type sins, because when you start calling different type sins, then I have to keep on going until I try to cover every sin in the book. So I very seldom just call out different sins. But here today is what Paul was saying within the Scripture, so therefore I am. But he says something very interesting. He says the church will stand firm, listen to me, against certain sexual sin. Homosexuality about being the number one that the church will stand firm on. And he says, if you're going to stand firm on that, and it was interesting, this sermon, he preached about an hour and a half. He said, if you want to stand firm on that, He says, when you go home and you turn your TV on, or you go watch something and you sit there and just dive into all of that stuff, he says, then you need to keep your mouth shut. That is that's very convicting, probably to all of us. Because we want to stand firm on what we think are the big sins of vanity. But when it comes to our own lives, we have a tendency to push them aside. So this word here, sexually immorality, where we get our word porn from, it's just filling our minds and our hearts with all this stuff. It's evil. Sexual sin, it comes in all different type of forms. Adultery, sexual abuse of children. It wreaks havoc. King David was brought down by sexual sin. And something that my dad said in the sermon, he was never the same after that. He was never as strong after that. And I'm not saying there's not forgiveness. Yes, there's forgiveness. But he was never as strong. And I've seen preacher after preacher and person after person dive into sexual sin. And after that, a lot of times, it's tough. It's hard. Especially if you're in a leadership a position like us. I tell the staff all the time, one wrong accusation destroys my life. You know? And so therefore, we have to protect ourselves. If we're living in God's kingdom, we live in that. He gives us those protections. He gives us a wisdom on how to live this life. So here today, instead of looking at the sins of the world in this area, maybe we need to look at ourselves. Maybe we need to look within ourselves. I believe today that the root of sexual sin is a selfishness. Selfishness, meaning I want to be a gratified, or satisfaction is selfishness. I want someone to do something to make me feel a certain way. You know, the Christian church has been too silent in this area. I'm going to be honest with you. The Christian church, you know, we've allowed the world to define what sex is. Will you agree with that? I think we have. And so we do not, as people of God, we should determine what it is. We should be the ones that are at the forefront, talking to our children, preaching in our churches, in a youth group, and different things, that sexual sin will destroy you. It will destroy you. Isn't it interesting? The first one that he listed was the works of the flesh, was this one. And I think that's there for a reason. Let me just get down where the rubber meets the road a little bit. Young people, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this with all the love that I can say. Living together is not okay. It is sin. It is sin. Living together is not okay. Sin. Why is it sin? Once again, the root is selfishness. Because what happens is you are stealing something away for your own utter gratification that was reserved for someone's spouse one day. That you're stealing away. It says, what if we're dating and we're engaged and all that stuff? See? I've had these said to me. That's reading very much. Once again, we rationalize it that fast. It's still sin. God wants the very best for us. He wants to give good gifts to us. And what is a better gift that you can look your spouse on your wedding night and say, "I waited for you"? That's God's way, that I waited for you. And the interesting thing, where we lost it in the 90s as youth ministries, I was there, you know, the purity movement came, and the books was written on it, and some authors, I wouldn't even call their names, they said, you got to be pure, you got to do this, and it was almost came across that it was a work of the flesh. You got to stay pure, you got to be able to look at your spouse in their face and say, "I with you, and then I'm pure." Listen to me. And that's the best way, is to be able to stand before your spouse one day as a physical virgin, be able to look at them and say, "I love God and I love you so much that I waited for you." But for many, that's not reality. And in the 90s, it was presented to us, if you had gone past that and had sex with someone, that you can never be a pure ever again for somebody. Somewhere along the line in the church, we lost the fact that we're Corinthians. We are made new in Christ. All old things are passed away, and all things become new. And the beautiful side is, if you have passed that line and you're no longer a virgin, praise God, He restores. And you can look at your spouse one day, doing it the right way by living in His kingdom, that you can look at your spouse one day and says, "I love my God and I love you so much that I waited for you." Amen. It's a beautiful thing. And so in the 90s, we lost it somewhere, and all that purity stuff, which is, I believe in. My little girl, Jana Ray, and I, we have an understanding. I took her out to dinner on a date, and I had her ring that I had bought for her. And I had a pearl ring and stuff. And she and I went out together, and I looked at her and I said, "Sweetie, listen to me. I'm going to give you this ring, and we're going to go into a covenant together. And this covenant basically says that you will seek God and you will seek my wisdom for someone to marry one day. I'm not going to put all this pressure on you or any of that. All we're going into is a moment of that commitment to one another, that you allow me to be in that process for you. And if I say something that I know something, I say, and I see this old sorry guy trying to hold your hand or something, I'm going to come down on him. When you're 38, you can get married. I was 34. I had to wait. She's going to wait. And Jordan's going to wait. And Jerry's going to wait. I'm kidding. I had to hurry. But you understand my heart today. Paul, he listed it here. But there's grace. Aren't you glad? There's God's grace. You said, "Tim, I have gone over that. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful." Because it is selfishness. Sex before marriage is not okay. It's sin. But I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for we're a new creature in Christ. I'm thankful for that today. Sexual sin destroys. I've had people in my office weeping and crying, wailing. But praise God, I have seen the same people after forgiveness and counseling with peace once again. God can restore anything if we're allowed to. He can restore anything. He can restore anything if we're allowed to. You might say then, what is the fruit of the Spirit that I just want to talk about? With all of this that I've said, say this, Jesus to the rescue. Jesus to the rescue. It says here that the fruit of the Spirit, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. There's four words in the Greek for love. There's a eros, which means a sexual love, a passionate love. A phileo means a friendly or a warm, you know, for like a friend. There's a storge. It's more affection than a parent to a child. And there, praise God, there's God's love called agape love.
Amen.
There's a love there that is not selfish. There's a love there that He puts within us because He's within us. He is love. And therefore, if He's living within us, guess what? That's what He calls us to. A agape love is that unconquerable benevolence. I want to put it this way. No matter what the people may do to us by the way of insult, we will never seek anything else but their highest good. That is an agape love that lives within us. You see the theme here? Selfishness, unselfish. Selfishness, unselfish. That the fruit of the Spirit is love. It flows out of us. It's not a feeling that we have of the mind or makes us feel good. It's a movement of the mind and the heart. We're seeking the best for everyone. And in our relationships that we have with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it should be a forefront that we're really seeking God's goodness, God's perfect will for our lives. We will honor each other in our daily relationships. We will honor each one. Love is God, and God is love. It's a fruit flowing from Him through us. It's being unselfish. We see it at Jesus Christ, loving the ones that were oppressed. Loving those that seem no one else loved. It's being truthful and hard, even on the Pharisees, was a form of love. God has called us to love, a fruit that flows out. And calls us to love. Even when people kiss us on one cheek, He says, turn the other to them. Some maybe in their minds are going right now, going, well, you don't want us to run over us. You don't want anybody to run over us, do you? Why do we always stay that or go there? That doesn't mean you can't be a doormat, is it? See, our attitude is already rotten about it. Because we're afraid somebody's going to get over on us. When Jesus says it's love. Love. When I do a counseling, one of the things that I go over is this. And I try to paint the true picture of what God intended in our dating lives, and we're getting engaged to honor one another. It's seeking out the highest good in people. Barclay put it this way: the fruit of the Spirit is the outward evidence of the inward reality of a heart abiding in Christ. Listen to me again. It's the fruit of the Spirit is the outward evidence of the inward reality of a heart abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Aren't you glad for forgiveness? Aren't you glad when we mess everything up through whatever, sexual sin or through other ways, that there's forgiveness? It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. This is the way it looks. We end with this. Some of you will know who this name is. David Wilkerson. He started the Teen Challenge many years ago. Some of you will know who that name is. Some of you will know who that is. A Teen Challenge is a rehab place. I mean, when you go to Teen Challenge and come out of it, it's like 90-something% that you keep right on going. You never look back to drugs or whatever it's dealing with. He lived on a farm in Pennsylvania, out in the country. God called him to go to New York City. It would almost be like God calling me to go to New York City. I would question God. Okay? He went to New York City to minister to the gangs of New York City. He ran into one of the gang members that really controlled the city, named Nicky Cruz. He began just to go right into where they were and just walk in. He didn't care. He just walk in. And started building relationships with these guys. And when they would start fighting other gangs, you know, he would get in between them. Man, what faith. Nicky Cruz had enough of it. Went to David Wilkinson, country preacher. He said, a preacher. He said, I'm about done with you, and I'm just summarizing. He said, I could cut you up in 1,000 pieces. Now, Dave Wilkinson had a choice. What kingdom am I going to live in? He looked at Nicky Cruz, and if you've never heard of somebody, you know the story. Beautiful words. He said, yeah, you could cut me up in 1,000 pieces. You could cut me up in 1,000 pieces and throw it all over the street. And he said, every single piece will be crying back out to you. I love you. I love you. Nicky Cruz is an evangelist even till today. There's no substitute for loving folks. We can browbeat them. We can tell them how bad they are. We can shout from the rooftops that this is sin, this is sin, this is sin, and be, urgh! We can hold up our picket signs, but nothing will win some to the Lord except by putting your arms around somebody and just loving them. Love folks into the kingdom. One is selfishness, what gratifies us in our flesh. The other one is love. That's a fruit that flows from the Lord that lives within us to touch the untouchable. And I will say this, when God uses me in the life of someone, it is very satisfying. It really is. I want you to stand.
Thank you again for joining us. Our prayer for you as well as ourselves is that we will continue not to fulfill the desire of our flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean for you this week at work, at home, at school? Seek the Lord. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in prayer. Empowered by the Spirit of God, we can walk in His way and bear His fruit. God bless you. You have a great week.